Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to another episode of Chronicles of a Fonda Woman. My name is Suchina Kirkendall and it's always a privilege and a pleasure to be with you here tonight. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. Thank God for saving me. All I can say is when I think of his goodness and all he's done for me, the enemy has been so busy all week. And that's when you know breakthrough is coming, ladies and gents. That's when you know breakthrough is coming. So when it gets like that, that is when I dig in my heels the most. I get quiet and I let the dust settle. And I let him, meaning God, do his work because I know it's on the way. As I was reminded from my cousin, that's when you know breakthrough is coming and hold on. So I'm not going to start the show. I can't do it without going into prayer. So let's go straight into it. So Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you and we praise you. We give you the honor and the praise. You are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy to be praised, Lord. And I thank you for it. I thank you for just keeping me, blessing me, and not just me, but just all those who are involved with Chronicles, all those from the listeners to the producers to those who are tuning in live and those who are tuning in by way of the demand after the show is aired. I just thank you for who you've been. I thank you for who you are and who you're about to be in our lives. And as I move forward right now, Lord, I give you the honor. I give you the praise. I give you the highest right now. Hallelujah, Lord. I give you the highest praise. And I ask you, Lord, to decrease me as the man, decrease the flesh, Lord. And I invite your Holy Spirit to come in, Lord, as we finish up this series of coming out of bondage. Because that's what I realize it is. The enemy is upset. He is upset because we have people that are coming out of bondage, and I thank you for allowing me for being the vessel that you've chosen to do this task, Lord. And I ask that you increase the Holy Spirit. I invite him in, ask him to saturate my heart, my mind, my soul, my body, not just me, but for all those who are designed to be tuned in and to listen to this message, Lord. And it's in Jesus' name we ask and pray. I thank you, Lord, for watching those who are going through right now, those who are doing it silently, and those who are doing that, who aren't unknown or not known, but especially those who are going through it. I call it my silent sufferers. I do know what that's like, Lord, to suffer in silence. Just know that someone is interceding for them right now at this very moment. I thank you, Lord, for those who are mourning right now, who are in mourning, who have lost a loved one. We just had one of our classmates who just lost one. And, Lord, we just have right now, we're just going through a lot right now, Lord. But I know there's nothing that you cannot do. So we continue to put our trust. We continue to put our mind, we continue to put everything in you, Lord, because there is nothing that you cannot do. And no weapon, even though they may form, it will not prosper. And it's in Jesus' name, we ask and pray. Amen. So now that we got that out the way, I want to thank you. Thank you so much for being a part of the Chronicles. Thank you so much for all the support that you all have been giving me. And when I say the enemy is busy, he has been really, really been busy. Because, you know, anytime breakthrough is coming, let me just sidebar for a second because I'm just being led to do it. So because somebody might need to hear this or needs to hear this. Anytime breakthrough is coming, let me just tell you how you know. All Hades break loose in your life. From the people you know, it could be your family, it could be your children, it could be your job, it could be wherever. It just seems like the floodgates just come out and it just breaks. And it feels like you're suffering and it feels like you're suffocating, seems like you're drowning. That's when you know that, hey, something's about to happen. And what I'm going to tell you is I'm going to encourage you to hold on. And I think it's Sounds of Blackness has this song. It's one of my favorites. He says, you know, how can you smile when your world is tumbling down? And they say, here's my secret. When I want to cry, when I look around and I see that I'm getting by, and I hold on because change is coming. And I just want to encourage someone tonight, change is coming. Just hold on. Dig your heels in and hold on. When things go wrong, for me, I have to stop. I have to let the dust settle. And then I got to assess what's going on, assess the situation, and then I go into my plan of action. That's what I do. And once I go into my plan of action, I begin to execute. And when I start to execute, then it's, you know, distractions, they go, I don't even entertain distractions. That could be Facebook, that could be people, that could be whatever it may be. But now I become focused, and that's how it is, you know. And I will say this, don't be so prideful to ask for prayer. You know, I used to be that one to always handle things on my own. God broke me out of it a long time ago. And I, you know, I've learned, and I always tell people, if you need something, let me know. Let us help you, because we can't help you if you don't make us aware of it. So I will tell someone in a second, you know, pray for me. My thing is, you know, sometimes you don't have to tell me. In fact, you don't have to tell me at all. If you tell me to pray for you, that's automatic. If you want to share it, that's fine. If you don't want to share it, that's fine too. But if I tell you I'm going to pray for you, I'm going to pray for you. I don't need to know what your situation is. Just know that I'm going to go in intercession and I'm going to pray for your situation, whatever the case may be. And I'm going to touch and agree that God's will be done in your life. And that's the way it is. So I thank you for those that I did put that intercession out, those who are interceding or still interceding for my family and I. I thank you for that. I'm very appreciative of that. And as I move forward, I want to just reiterate, one, thank you for those who are listening and tuning in. I cannot do this besides God, and He is my source. I cannot do it without the support of you all. Thank you all who are listening live from overseas and from different continents, South America, Africa, Philippines, Canada. They're from all over, and it's still growing. I'm humble. I'm truly, truly humble by this experience. Just thinking when this was given to me, and to know that as of August 11th of 2019, it finally came to fruition. And I'm just here to tell you that regardless, I apologize for my phone, regardless of what your situation is, you can make it happen. Just make up your mind and make it happen. But I will tell you this, do it afraid. Do it if you're scared. Still, just, you know what, just do it and step out on faith. And when you do that, He, and I mean God, will honor it. Every time I have stepped out on faith, He is honoring it, totally honored it. So I just want to encourage someone, and I haven't even got on the subject, but I'm just led to do it. So I'm just going to encourage. Every time I've stepped out on faith, it has really, really, God is just awesome. I can't begin to praise Him enough for it. I think about when I first moved here, I left South Carolina, like it was just like out of the blue. I was like, there's nothing left here for me. I just had my youngest son, and my son's father, we were supposed to get married. That didn't work out, and he decided he was going to relocate to out across the seas and marry someone else, no problem. And I was left to raise a child by myself, no problem. I left, and I was like, you know what? It's just you and I, son. And I packed up a U-Haul, whatever I could get in a U-Haul, and I drove down to Atlanta. And I will never forget that. That was about 8 years ago. didn't have a job. I didn't have anything. I just knew that I needed a change. And was it easy? No, it was not easy. I endured some heart attacks, some strokes, and came out of remission. I had quite a few challenges. But when I look at where I was then and where I am now, it is only through His grace that has sustained me and where I am. And I am nothing like where I started. And it was only through it. And as a result, I get to do what I love to do most, which is talk and just talk about life and just be transparent about who I am and whose I am and help other women to let them know that they're not out there by yourself. You're not out here by yourself. There are other women who are going through or going through what you're going through. And I'm saying, you know, if I can do it, you can do it. And let me just let you know this. I wasn't that one who always had it together. I was very dependent on other people because I didn't have to do anything. I was very spoiled. Up until the age of 40s, I didn't learn how to become intra-dependent, that meaning depending on God and on myself, until I was the age of 40. That's when I had my youngest son, and I relocated. I had to learn to survive. It was the best lesson I have ever been given in my life. And I definitely come from the school of hard knocks. I went through a lot of things in my life. But having my son, my youngest son, and having to learn life and everything, if thank God for Jesus, that's all I can say, for covering me throughout all of that. So I just want to encourage someone that there's nothing that cannot be done without God's grace. And just when you think that all else has failed is when He has you the most, sweetheart, is when He has you the most. So just keep pressing, just keep pressing, just keep pressing. And when you think He is not listening, that is when He is listening to you the most. Keep pressing. And along the lines, I had to learn how to forgive throughout the process, which brings me to my subject tonight. As we talk about the subject tonight, is because I love is why I forgive. I feel like I'm misquoting my own topic tonight because I'm so full. I am so full tonight. I can't even begin to tell you because of everything that we're going to be discussing. And as we're talking about coming out of bondage tonight, this has been one interesting year. Can you believe we're getting ready to go into February? Is it tomorrow? Yeah, tomorrow. Tomorrow we're getting into February. Now, February is very near and dear for me because it is my birthday month. And for a lot of people who are February babies, happy birthday to you already. But it is phenomenal. But this month, this year, actually coming out of 2020 and coming into 2021 and transitioning has just been very interesting. And what I say, when we started this series, coming out of brokenness, God gave me forgiveness. Starting into a new year, we have to forgive. We should not, you know, don't bring in old stuff. Just leave that old stuff just where it needs to be in the past, you know. And we've given you some of different topics, which is we started off with forgiveness, which is the core of the Coming Out of Bondage series. We started with the root of unforgiveness. Then we started with the benefits of unforgiveness. And then we started off with the process of forgiving. And now we're talking about, well, why do we forgive? We're now going to go into why do we forgive? Like, when I say that, it goes into what stems us to forgive? Like, what prompts us to forgive? And that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. And I'm very excited about this. I'm very, very excited about this. And I am sitting here baffled right about now because I'm trying to go into my notes, and for some reason I'm having some issues with it. Okay, I finally got in there. Okay, so because of God's love, I choose to forgive. And when I think about just the story I mentioned about my transition coming here and having to raise a child by myself, especially at the age of 40, you know, I'm coming back, coming out of the 15, 16, 20 years of nonprofit. And so working nonprofit, I did a lot of things. I was very, very involved in the community. I was always out in the street because a lot of the social networking and stuff was done using the street. Well, now I have a baby, so I'm not going to leave my baby. And he was a preemie on top of that. So I had a lot to deal with, and then learning to deal with how to survive, that was something new for me. And I didn't have that help or whatever you think that you would have. I didn't have it. But God's grace, oh, is so beautiful. And in that process, I develop a lot of anger. And I can't say, I never like using the word hate, but I wasn't too far from it. And I will always say it's a strong dislike. But no, let me not lie about that. I had developed a hate. And it was for two people in particular. I did. But I believe it was after my second heart attack is when I got to the point when I realized I couldn't hold on to it any longer. I had to forgive. It was eating me alive so bad, I was being hospitalized, and I had a child. I had to forgive. And I started thinking when God came to me and was talking to me, and he was talking about how much he loved me, and I was thinking about, I love him too, but how do I love him and hate my brother? That's so deep. How could you love God and hate your fellow man or hate your brother? It doesn't mix. Love and hate don't operate in the same space. It just does not. And I had to make a decision. Was I going to continue to hate and let this cancer continue to infest me, or was I going to let it go? And it wasn't until that time I was in the hospital, I had to make a decision. And I decided, I have to let this go. And I decided to forgive. I had to forgive. And not only did I have to forgive the people, I had to forgive myself. I had to realize that I love God so much. I was so blinded by the hate and the anger and the contentment of being left by myself by this man that helped produce this child and the person that had me publicly humiliated, you know, throughout all this, the PTSD, the post-traumatic depression, postpartum depression, just all of these things bottled up. And now I have to figure out how to survive, not just to take care of myself, but to take care of a child on top of that. And I'm left by myself to do this. Oh my gosh, what am I going to do but put it in his hands? I love him. I love you, Lord. And I trust you. So I had to execute. I had to stop, let the dust settle, and then I had to execute. So what did I have to do? I had to first repent. That's what I had to do. I had to repent. I just said, Lord, please come into my heart. I repent of my sins. I repent of hating this person or hating these two people so much to a point I've gotten so blind. To the point I can't even, to a point I'm sick, to the point I'm in the hospital. Is it worth it? and no, it isn't. But I love you enough. I love you enough, Lord. I can't hold on to this no more. Thank you for loving me enough, for sparing me, because I could have, you could have took me out from, not from the first heart attack. You could have took me out from the second heart attack. You could have took me out from, not from the first stroke, but you could have took me out from the second stroke. But you didn't do that. You didn't take me out from the first, the second, the third, the fourth, the fifth, and then the other many strokes I had. You didn't take me out when I came out of remission, or for the many times I had to go into hospital for my blood transfusions, for every opportunity that you showed me grace. You showed me how much you loved me. And you forgave me for all the times that I didn't forgive myself or didn't even want to forgive others. What better way to show strength? My point is, he loved me enough. Why couldn't, and forgave me of my sins? Who am I not to forgive and love someone else for theirs? Who am I not to? When I think of someone else, if I was to use an example, I think about Jesus. Now, I'm just going to be honest and transparent. If it was up to me, I wouldn't have took the beat down that Jesus took. Jesus took a beating for us. He took a serious beating for us. I don't know if I could have endured that. I'm just going to be honest with you. I don't know if I could have endured that. I don't know if I could have done that. He loved us enough that even that we didn't, and I'm saying we as people, didn't love him, we didn't respect him, believe in him, we gave up on him, we didn't acknowledge him, and throughout all that, he loved us enough to go to God and say, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. And loved us enough to die on the cross for us. If that is not the power of love and forgiveness, I don't know what is. I really don't. When I think about the scripture that I use in describing our story tonight. And I'm so off of what I was originally going to talk about, but I'm just being led, so I'm just letting the Spirit have its way. When I look at it and I was preparing, I was listening, I was talking to my editor, you know, my program, who helps me program, I need to call my program manager because she helps me tremendously. And we were just talking about throwing scriptures around and, you know, what would be most helpful or most appropriate is the word I want to use. And she suggested one of these, and I said, oh, this would be the perfect one. And it says, for you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive and abundant in mercy to all those who call upon you. That's Psalms 86, chapter 5th verse, New King James Version. Because of God's love, I choose to forgive. Let's recap for a second. Starting with the root of unforgiveness. Betrayal. Adultery. Someone backstabbed you. Abandonment. Several things. Rejection from a parent. Molestation from a family member. These are hardcore stuff. And at times it may seem like, well, why should I forgive? Look what they did to me. Why shouldn't you forgive them? Because of what they did to you. You're holding yourself hostage for something
that wasn't your fault. Then we talk about the benefits of forgiving. So let's talk about why should you forgive them? So now you're giving them your power. That's why you should forgive them, because they don't deserve your power. You're not forgiving them for them. You're forgiving them for yourself. So you can have that peace. So you can have that peace of mind. You're not forgiving the offense, because no, it's nothing cool about abandonment, rejection, molestation, or anything like that. You're just releasing the emotional attachment, the emotional hurt and pain. That's what you're releasing. So when you think about that situation, you will not react the same way. In other words, every time you think about it, it's not going to be a reincarnation of it happening again, over and over and over again, like a fresh start. That's the benefit. And then going into the process of it, you know, acknowledging what has happened. What happened? You know, what has happened? Identifying what the issue, the actual issue is. And then acknowledging how you feel about this. This has made me feel a certain kind of way. And acknowledge it and be okay with acknowledging what has happened. Identifying the problem. And then give your take on, you know, how did you think the outcome should have gone? Now you've identified, give your perception what you, you know, you're giving your perception of what you think this should have happened as a result of once you've acknowledged it, and then come to grips with the reality of what actually happened. And then you will have to decide if you're going to forgive. And as I mentioned last week, forgiveness is not an option, but it is your choice if you do it. If you're trying to get into heaven, it's not an option. If you're not, then it's your choice. And then you have to decide to just, and then you're going to have to decide to do it. Release that emotional attachment. You know, I put a poll question out there tonight prior to the show, and I'm going to try to get through them tonight because I had so many good responses to the question. And it was, I put it in the form of a true and false question, true and false answer, and then a statement, and then I gave them, you know, explain your answer. And the question, the poll question was, true or false, you must love in order to forgive. Why or why not? And some of the responses have been very, very interesting. So I want to share some of them with you tonight. I'm going to start with, I got a response from Blacksburg, Virginia. And the response I got was, you must love yourself in order to forgive. In my limited opinion, in a lot of cases, we must forgive in order to let go of something. It's not about absolution for the person who hurt or wronged you. Once again, forgiveness is not for them. It's for you. It's totally for you. You know, so I thank you, Blacksburg, Virginia. I really, really appreciate that. I really, really appreciate that. You know, I found some very good responses from this. I got some true and I got some falses. So as I go through this, I can't wait to share them. I'm trying to see if I can get them all tonight, being that this will be the last night we're going to be talking about this. So I have another one. This is coming from Gwinnett County, Georgia. And it says, true, because God loved us enough to give us Jesus and his forgiveness. We must show that same love to others. Isn't that so true? We must forgive because he first, we must love and forgive because he loves us. He loves us. We have to, what best example we could provide except through our Lord and our Savior, Jesus, because he is the perfect example of love. And I have to ask a question, and if you're unable to answer it today, please go to, and I didn't mention this before, so let me take a break to say this. For those who are not familiar with Chronicles of a Fondled Woman, you can reach us on Blog Talk Radio. We come on every Sunday night at 9:30 p.m. You can always catch us on Blog Talk. If you're not familiar with Blog Talk, you can always go to us on www.blogtalkradio.com/Chronicles of a Fondled Woman. You can also catch us on Facebook, and you can catch us by typing in Chronicles of a Fondled Woman, and that has spaces in between. So just make sure you put the spaces in between. You can also catch my poll questions on Chronicles of a Fondled Woman. Now, tonight it was kind of slow. It's been raining here. I don't know if it's been raining for you all, but it has been messing with my internet. So I got my poll question up a little late. But usually I'm throwing out my poll questions pretty early on Sunday morning. So please catch it because it will be out again Sunday morning. You can catch me, like I said, on Facebook at Chronicles of a Fondled Woman. You can also catch me by way of email, and I thank you so much for those who are reaching out to me via email. I really appreciate your support more than you will ever know, and you may continue to do so. If you don't have the email address, you may email me at C as in Charlie, O-A-F woman, at gmail.com. Once again, my email address is coafwoman@gmail.com. So with that, without further ado, we're going to move forward to our poll questions responses. And this one is coming from Los Angeles, California. And the response to his was yes, because forgiveness is a form. And the question, again, for those who are just tuning in, we're talking about our title tonight is Because of God's Love, I Choose to Forgive. We are wrapping up. This is our concluded topic for our Coming Out of Brokenness series, forgiveness. In particular, we started with the root of unforgiveness. We went into the benefits of forgiveness. Then we talked about the process of forgiving. And then tonight, wrapping up with because of God's love, I choose to forgive. And we're just paralleling how forgiveness and love parallel with one another. Because you have to have love, whether it's love of oneself, love of the Lord, or both, in order to forgive. Now, a lot of people don't, when I go into some of the false statements, it's going to be interesting because as I was reading them, I was like, wow, I really appreciate it because I love the different opinions that I get because it's not challenging, but I'm like, I'm intrigued. Like, tell me more. Why do you feel the way you feel? And, so it opens up a whole new different dialogue that I'm so interested in. I'm always thirsty for knowledge. So thank you, California. I really, really appreciate that.
So here we are. We're looking at another one from Gwinnett County, Georgia, as a matter of fact. And she indicated, this is a tricky question. I think you can forgive without loving that person, or you can forgive and love. Hold on one second. I think you can forgive without loving that person, or you can forgive and love. I don't think I just know I should forgive someone and mean it. And that was her answer. And I thought that was a very interesting answer, because it's interesting because now I'm going to get to another one who kind of shares the same opinion. And so that's why I love these poll questions. It's so, so interesting to me. I love it. I absolutely love it. Absolutely love it. So here we go. So we're looking at Raleigh, North Carolina. Very, very interesting. And it states, and I quote, "I don't think you have to love a person to forgive them. I think loving a person or having love in your heart makes it easier to forgive. We as believers are commanded to love and to forgive, but I don't think both are an absolute pair every time forgiveness is required. Also, forgiveness, in my opinion, is more about you than the forgiver. Then it is the person who hurt you, than the person that has hurt you. Holding unforgiveness in your heart causes you more hurt and pain because it keeps you in bondage, controlled by or to the person who hurt you. In conclusion, to me, forgiveness is more about loving yourself, not as much as others." So the answer could be yes. So in this one, it could be yes or it could be no. But, you know, like I said, how could you not have one without the other? In order to forgive, you have to either have love of oneself or that person. Because if you're a follower of Christ, you have to love. It's not an option for you. It's one of his commandments. We must love. We must love. It's not an option. Once again, it goes back to forgiveness. It's not a choice. Excuse me. It's not an option, but it is our choice. So let me make sure I'm clear on that. It's not an option, but it is our choice. So it's up to you on how you want to do it. But Jesus is very specific. God is very specific about his instructions, but I love it. I love it. But I have to admit, Raleigh, North Carolina, because, yeah, you know, you can look at it as a two-edged sword there. It's really a two-edged sword. So I got exactly where you were coming from on that. I got exactly where you were saying it. This one is coming from Berkeley County, South Carolina. So this one is going to be very interesting. Here we go. So the question, true or false? You must love in order to forgive. Why or why not? True. To forgive and receive forgiveness is the highest act of love. I mean true love. You must show action. God forgave us by showing true love when he gave his only son. Take it from me. When I gave forgiveness, I could breathe. Weight has been lifted off me. Isn't that the truth? When you've forgiven, it's just like a breath of fresh air that has been given. It's almost like it's the hyperventilation is gone. It's almost like the elephant is off your chest. You're not restricted or constricted anymore when you choose to forgive. When I forgave my son's father, it was like a weight just lifted off my chest. A breath of fresh air. So I totally get it. I totally, totally get it. So I went to, and this is actually Stone Mountain, Georgia. I'm going to next. It said, and I got false. You don't have to love someone to forgive them. I did not go any deeper than that, but I thought it was very interesting to share that. Very, very interesting. And then here we have somebody else from Raleigh, North Carolina. Ooh, North Carolina is really stepping up tonight. Let's see. The person said, I have to say true, I think. Love comes from one's heart, mind, body, and soul. And to forgive, it should also fall suit from those same people. Oh, sorry, fall suit from those same special places to be free and clear of something or someone, good or bad. I like that. Yes. Yes, I do like that. I do like that. I do like that. This one is coming from Bennettsville, South Carolina. And the question, true or false, you must love in order to forgive. Why or why not? And the response is true. Love is light. Jesus is love. Love overcomes darkness. Okay. Love is true. Love is light. Jesus is love. Love overcomes darkness. We as believers must spread love. Isn't that the truth? Isn't that the truth? Is it because one thing he's not going to do, he's not going to force us now. That's one thing God is not going to do. He is not going to force us. He's going to command us. He gives us certain commands that he expects us to do. He's not going to micromanage us. He just knows that he gives us something to do, and either we're going to do it or we're not. And that's just all to it. We're either going to do it or we're not. That's just the bottom line of that. But isn't he so gracious? He is so gracious. So I'm grateful. Thank you very much. I really appreciate it. I really, really appreciate it. So as I was saying, you know, when I want to get into, you know, I want to get into another example before I go on to some other ones. I have something coming up from Florida. You know, when I think about another example of love and forgiveness, I think about mothers who lose their children to murders. My heart just goes out. There are several cases I can use for that. Racially motivated. Some people who lose their children because they're murdered. Now, I guess I have so many examples of that. But the one that stuck out to me was the one, and, oh gosh, there's two of them, actually. So I'm going to try to get through both of them. It was a lady, and I want to say she was in the Texas area. I was trying to find the story. I ran across it, I want to say, a few months ago, and I've been searching high and low for this story, and I can't find it. But the gist of the story was her son was murdered by another young man, and as a result, he went to prison, and she was so consumed by hate and unforgiveness that finally she just got tired of having it. And God stepped in, and she started writing the young man in prison, and she requested to see him, and he would always deny her request. And finally, he agreed to see her. She went to the prison to go see him. She stated that when she went to go embrace him, she felt all the anger and everything that she had release off of her, and she began to forgive. And the young man just broke down. They both were breaking down and crying because of the tragic incident. As a result of it, they continue to communicate with one another. And when he got out of prison, she moved him in her home, got him rehabilitated to go back into society. And they created a nonprofit to assist people, their situation. A mother who's a survivor, and a young man
who's overcame that situation? What powerful ministry could that be? What powerful union of love and forgiveness can you find besides Jesus? When I think about that story, I'm overwhelmed of it, because it's when you think about love and forgiveness, it parallels, because you can't have one without the other. And we can say that, you know, so when I listen to people, they say that, I don't think they do, but if you dissect it, because I will dissect something in a second. When you dissect it, and I said, well, I had someone who responded today from Lancaster, South Carolina. And when you say that you, and in fact, I'm going to see if I can find it. I don't want to misquote. So let me see if I can find it. Let me see if I can find it. Let me see if I can find it. I'm going to paraphrase if I can't find it, but basically what I got was, no, I don't feel like you have to love in order to forgive. And I was like, well, explain to me, you know, here we go. So true or false, you must love in order to forgive. False, you can forgive without love being present. In my opinion, I do think it helps to have kindness to aid in forgiving. My response back to that is, please share. Another question, why do you forgive? Because I was curious. And the response I got was, you forgive for peace and resolution. A lot of people can't let go of things at times, but I feel that if you can forgive with kindness, you'll be better off spiritually and emotionally. My response was simple. Wouldn't that be a love of oneself because you desire that peace? And the response I got was, I don't consider that love personally. I thought that was so interesting. But it's something to ponder, because everyone has their different perspective. That's what I love about Chronicles. It's real life, real people, real issues, you know, real concerns. And when I hear people different perspective, I'm so engulfed and so fascinated by it. So fascinated by it. But to me, my opinion, and based on my knowledge of the Word of God, it parallels, because you cannot have one without the other. If you did not have love in your heart or some type of compassion in your heart, because what is compassion? Compassion is love. What is kindness? A form of love. What is mercy? Grace, all forms of what? Love. It is some forms of love. You cannot have one without the other. It does not work. It just don't work. It does not. And I'm very curious if someone sees something differently, or I would love to have that conversation, whether it's on Facebook or, you know, Chronicles of a Fonda Woman, or whether it's on email at coafwoman@gmail.com. Oh, I would love to have this conversation, or even on the Blog Talk page of www.blogtalkradio.com/Chronicles of a Fondled Woman. I would love to entertain this conversation. I would love, love, love to entertain that conversation. Because why? Because of God's love, I choose to forgive. It can't get no better than that. It can't. So let me move on, because I got more. So I have more. So I think the last one I gave you, that one was out Lancaster, South Carolina. I have another one from Berkeley County, South Carolina, and it states the following. Let's see what we have here. It says, what does the Bible say about it? We must forgive our fellow men just as our Heavenly Father forgives us. Yes, we must love each other individually, but that does not mean that doesn't mean we love everything they do. But again, we must have compassion as well. Let's see where we are. We must have compassion. I have to get some new glasses, ladies and gents. I really do. We must have compassion as, and I have to move my phone because it's too close to my face. Okay. Yes, we must love each other individually, but that doesn't mean we love everything they do. But again, we must have compassion as well. Sometimes the person does not know or realize their reasons for whatever they have done. And that is very true. It's almost like a child. You know, I'm like, hey, so-and-so, why did you do that? I don't know. You hear that a lot in children, don't you? Why'd you do that? I don't know. Yes, you know. You know, it's so funny. I did that as a child, too. I don't know why I did what I did. But the truth of the matter is, yes, I knew. I did. I have this response coming out of Goose Creek. Let me see and make sure I'm saying it right. Goose Creek, South Carolina. And it states, absolutely. The question, you must love in order to forgive. Why not? Absolutely. God is love, and it's through him that we have the ability to forgive and love. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? So I just want to thank everyone who has been participating in the poll questions, because I love just hearing what people have to say in a different perspective, because you make doing this so very working, because it's not about me. It's about the kingdom, and it's about other people, because people are going through. And I just want to encourage people that there are other people going through the same thing. And I just want to let you know that, hey, I'm a testimony. And there's so many other people who are out there that are testimonies that's going through. So you're not by yourself. And if any time that you want to reach out to me, please do so. And you can reach out to me by emailing me at coafw@gmail.com. That is coafw@gmail.com. I also have a phone number, and I never usually give out my phone number, but you know, I feel prompt to do it, and I'm going to do it tonight. So you can reach me on my phone number. I'm trying to see if I can find it. Hold on 1 second. And it's 678-223-3365. I think I may be getting a new one. I'm sorry, because I'm changing phone carriers. But it's 678-223-3365. So there are ways to reach out to me. So I'm going to try to get a couple more in before I go into wrapping up really quickly. But my name is Fuchina Kirkendall, and you are tuning into Chronicles of a Fonda Woman. We're concluding our series of Coming Out of Bondage. Our topic is forgiveness. We started off with the root of unforgiveness. Then we went into the benefits of forgiving. Then we went into the process of forgiving. And then tonight, concluding with, because of God's love, I choose to forgive. And talking about how love and forgiveness parallel one another, and how it's necessary to forgive or to love in order to forgive. And the purpose of even bringing that up will be as we move on to, out of the month of January and getting ready to transition into the month of February. Well, February will be the month of love. So we will be discussing love, a lot of love next month. And we're going to talk about what is love. You know, what is love?
And we're going to be talking, we're starting off with the book of Hosea. And if you're not familiar with the book of Hosea, I'm just going to encourage you to kind of read over it or Google it and just read up about the book of Hosea. And it's really one in particular thing I want you to find out about, you know, Hosea and his wife Gomer, the story between them. And it takes a special person, I will say that, but nothing too hard for God. Nothing too hard for God. But we're going to talk about the power of love and so on so many levels. So I'm so excited as we put an end to the forgiveness chapter and, you know, how love is just the core when it comes to forgiveness, and then go into the series on love for the month of February. I cannot wait. I'm so looking forward to it. So with that being stated, I'm just going to move forward to the other responses that I receive over the weekend. And this one is coming from Kissimmee, Florida. And the question again is true or false? You must love in order to forgive. Why or why not? And the response is no, you forgive because you were forgiven. Nobody loves a person who doesn't treat them right, but they show love because of obedience to Jesus. Once you master it, you will see deliverance and want to love like Jesus, along with prayer for the person. Very interesting. I like that. I love it. I love it. I just love all the responses that I received tonight, not just tonight, but just from everyone who's just posted their opinions and share their suggestions and just share their comments on the poll questions. And if you haven't been participating in it, please do that. Please share it on www.blogtalkradio.com/Chronicles of a Fonda Woman. Now, I will say that when I'm posting the show, you cannot put a comment to the poll questions there. In fact, I can't even get the poll questions on there, but you can go to the Facebook page, which is Chronicles of a Fonda Woman. And you can put your comments on the post there, or you can messenger me if you're there on the Chronicles of the Fonda Woman page, or you can always messenger me at Fuchina Kirkendall, and that's F as in Frank, O-U-C-H-I-N-A, and my last name is Kirkendall, K-I-R-K-E-N-D-O-L-L. You can always messenger me there. But participate, because the Chronicles is not a success without you all. And I thank you all so much from the bottom of my heart for participating and always just been there, because now we're going on 2 years. 2 years, you all. It has been such an exciting time. You know, the show has grown. It's just phenomenal. I thank you all for tuning in tonight and this evening. And I once again just want to thank you as we wrapped up the series. Tonight was the last night for coming out of bondage, talking about forgiveness, the root of unforgiveness, the benefits of forgiveness, the process of forgiveness, and now because of God's love, I choose to forgive. The parallel between love and forgiving. Next Sunday, we'll be talking about the subject of love in the month of February. Just remember that I love you, but God loves you more.